host Shane Cougar, and I am in a strange mood. Bow, 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 bow.
Antifa!
Why? I don't know. We haven't done this one in a while.
Amiki Bar, Trump, Sarkar.
That's all. Take the dog home.
That's it. Take the dog home. Okay, you remember that from Judge Judy? I didn't use that one enough because
animals are innocent.
I know what you're thinking.
You got the right one, honey, because I'm a crazy bitch.
I hear from some of you guys, and some of you mean well, and you're probably right, that I overuse the soundboard because I'm a child. You know what I have to say to that?
Thanks a lot, bitch.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Come on, that's a joke. Okay, I know what you're thinking.
I think it's weird.
But on the other hand, I think,
you know, I'm like a smart person.
I'm just having fun at the beginning of the show. You're gonna love the first segment. I got Superman in the first segment. A hold, don't get there yet. Later in the program, DACA. Oh my God, did Trump DACA the ship? So he apparently struck another deal with the Democrats. Republican heads exploded. Don't worry, I won't play the nuclear explosion. Some of you were also offended by that. It was not a real one, it was in a movie. Anyways, then what did he do to backpedal? That's nothing but fun. And in the second hour, the Marie Antoinette is back, and apparently they were trying to use very expensive government planes in the Trump cabinet to go on their honeymoons. That's later in the program, but let's do Jemele Hill. Go. Okay. So Jemele Hill was in a lot of trouble because she said things that were obvious on, I was gonna say on television, but she actually didn't say it on television, she said it on Twitter. It works for ESPN, and she had tweeted out, Donald Trump is a white supremacist who has largely surrounded himself with other white supremacists. I find this to be so shockingly normal that it's hardly believable that it's a controversy. Anyway, I've got updates for you guys on this story. I'm gonna get to apologies on top of retractions, etc. in a second. Not a retraction from her though. If you hadn't seen the earlier story, two more tweets for you guys to give you context. She had also written at the time, Trump is the most ignorant, offensive president of my lifetime. His rise is a direct result of white supremacy, period. But that's what he did. He ran on it. He said, oh, I'm gonna target all the immigrants. I'm gonna target the Mexicans, the Muslims. Anyway, we'll get to that in a second. Like, how dare you say things that are so obviously true? Okay, and then she also wrote, Donald Trump is a bigot. Glad you could live with voting for him. I couldn't because I cared about more than just myself. So the MAGA crowd goes nuts and they're like, oh my God, there are people who disagree with us in this country. They should be fired. I meant freedom of speech. Wait, I'm confused. Interesting. You know, these liberals get triggered so quick, those snowflakes. She said something about the Donald. Oh my God, I'm melting. Okay. You gotta check your talking points, guys, because you seem to get a little confused from time to time. Anyways, is Trump a racist? Of course! So, just quick review here. He was literally sued for housing discrimination, agreed he had done it, and paid a fine. He is a literal adjudicated racist. The government said, we think you're a racist and you're discriminating against black people. He said, you're right, here's the fine. Why are we still having this conversation? So, all right, well, that was a while back. Well, how about the Central Park Five? Those were the guys who at the time were accused of raping this white woman in New York City in Central Park, five young African-American males. Trump took out a full page ad, which cost him a lot of money, to say that they should be executed. Turns out, oops, they didn't do it. Now, they actually spent a long time in jail. We found out later they didn't do it. We found the DNA of the guy who actually did do it. They're absolutely not guilty. Trump, when faced with that information, said, who cares, they should still be in jail. Why? I mean, but we know they're not guilty. They're black, who cares? Just, I don't care, they're guilty of something, okay? Now look, some of you might go, I don't even know what your defense is. Sometimes I try to explain the defense. Like what, people who are innocent should be put in jail anyway, and Trump did it for what other reason? Because they're not guilty, so why does he still want them in jail? Anyway, birtherism, of course, that's the Obama's not from here. I mean, look at him, right? Now, as Bernie Sanders often says, my dad was from Poland. How come nobody ever asked me for my birth certificate? I wonder why. And total ban on all Muslims is what he promise to the campaign trail. Well, if you're going to ban all Muslims, what do we call you if we don't call you a bigot? Oh, I know what the right way is. Irrational. You're supposed to hate and fear Muslims and ban them. Just like the Jews, ban all the Jews. Wait, that sounds weird. Actually, for some of them, it doesn't even sound weird. That's where we've gotten. What do you mean, bigot? Well, I hate these group of people. I don't hate them. I'm really, really afraid of them. All of them. I mean, a total, complete ban on all Muslims is what he promised during the campaign. I don't know where you would get the idea that he discriminates against people. How can you possibly call him a white supremacist? I'm melting. And then, of course, called Mexicans criminals and rapists. Gee, I wonder if he's a white supremacist. And I didn't even put on the list that when actual neo-Nazis and KKK marched and then ran someone over and killed him, he said there are very good people on that side. Which very good white supremacist was he referring to? So this is a controversy. This is a controversy. This is like we're supposed to like just right wing. Please be racist. But I don't want to call you out as a racist. Oh my God, that would offend you. Now you offending Mexicans by calling them criminals and rapists? Who cares? You offending Muslims by banning them? Who cares, right? You actually taking people's freedoms away and rights away? Who cares? But if a right winger's ideas are offended ever, how could you? How could you? Okay, so unsurprisingly, Jemele Hill had to do some sort of apology. I'm not blaming her. She's got a nice job. She's got to keep the job. ESPN's going to panic because they're on TV and advertisers will call it and go, hey, you know what? Some of those racists also buy products. So we got to make sure that we're neutral to racism. Anyway, so she issues this on Twitter. My comments on Twitter express my personal beliefs. My regret is that my comments and the public way I made them painted ESPN in an unfair light. My respect for the company and my colleagues remains unconditional. You know, sometimes we'll point out it's not much of an apology. In this case, not much of an apology, good. Okay, because it doesn't deserve any apology at all. And I hear you, man, I hear you. I'm not getting on you for the apology. It's just, she didn't say it on air. I don't care if she said it on air either, but she said it on Twitter, she apologized on whatever. Can we let this go already? I mean, do you guys need a further safe space where you could be white supremacist, but no one is allowed to call you a white supremacist? And then you yell at people and say, well, black people are more criminal than we are, and Muslims are more dangerous than we are. How could you say we're against Muslims and blacks? I mean, what kind of safe space do you need? How big does a safe space need to be? Is it all of TV? Is it all of social media? I want my free speech. How about her free speech? Screw her free speech, fire her, fire her, fire. Okay, I mean, just let's get real. So ESPN then puts out a statement saying this, let's put this up. Jemele has a right to her personal opinions, but not to publicly share them on a platform that implies that she was in any way speaking on behalf of ESPN. She has acknowledged that her tweets crossed that line and apologized for doing so. We accept her apology. All right, luckily, and so Brian Stelter got that statement from ESPN and put that out. Okay, luckily, she's not fired, suspended, or anything like that. We can all move on. And guess what? There's going to be no boycott of ESPN. What are you going to do? Not watch sports? I don't believe you. Neither does anybody else. Okay, this is a giant panic over something very, very little. And if you guys are wondering, where the boundaries are and who speaks for what, like, not every ESPN host, whether they're a right winger or a left winger, speaks for the entirety of ESPN. I don't know why that's so complicated. Does anybody really think that? So. And they right wingers will say, but you know, when our guys or some of the right wingers say racist stuff, they're fired. That's true, because saying racist stuff is really, really bad. That means like you are saying this percentage of the audience, I don't disagree with them. I just think they're bad people by the very definition of who they are. And so that's a different animal. Like, so if Kurt Schilling or someone else says, man, I really think the rich need tax cuts. Ain't nobody getting fired over that. Or name it. I think Obamacare is terrible. I think Trump care is wonderful. Now, not many people agree with you, but you're not going to get fired over that, nor should you get fired over that. So it's not a matter of political disagreements. It's a matter, and if Jemele Hill had said, you know what, white people are the devil, Okay, and they are by definition bad. I'd say, nah, you gotta go. No, that's not right. So she's not saying racist thing. She's pointing out that Trump is saying racist things. It's a giant difference, a giant difference. And no, she doesn't speak for all of ESPN. We get this every once in a while too. Did you know what one of your hosts said? Yeah, I know, we got a lot of different hosts and they have a lot of different opinions. So make up your mind, either we are going to say, that's it, every host must agree with me. As wonderful as I think I am, I think that's kind of boring. Okay, or they're allowed to disagree and they don't speak for the company, they speak for themselves because they're independent human beings. Wow, I solved it, it wasn't that complicated. Okay, all right, let's move forward. Since I solved it. Okay. Oh my God, we've got another controversy. It's about Superman. He's apparently protecting the powerless. How dare he? Jesus, what is wrong with Superman these days? Liberal media, I'm not even kidding. Breitbart thinks it's a liberal conspiracy. They wrote a whole article about it. So let me tell you what the context here. Hollywood Reporter reporting, in the recent issue of Action Comics number 987, The Oz Effect, released Wednesday, Superman arrives in the nick of time to protect a group of undocumented immigrants from a white man sporting an American flag bandana, wielding a machine gun, who's going to shoot them for taking his job. Now, I know, first of all, they're undocumented immigrants, so I guess Superman is not supposed to save their lives. I thought that he would protect the powerless. Like, what's the counter argument here? We should machine gun them? Okay, I know, I'm liberal media, I don't understand. So let me show you the pictures. So this is in the cartoons. So he's, some of you asked, they Lodix explains, and this is from that comics 987. And he's taking the bullets and saving their lives. I mean, this is where the country's gotten. Like, if Superman saves people's lives, they're mad. They're mad. Okay. And then this happens in the next part of the comic. The guy who was shooting at them and trying to murder them asks, "Why, Superman? Why are you against me?" And that's a legitimate question. Like, wait, I was just trying to murder innocent people. Why are you against me? He says, you know, they took my job, they ruined me. And then Superman says, the only person responsible for the blackness smothering your soul is you. Damn, shots fired. And then blocked by Superman. Okay. So, and then they further explain here at the Hollywood Reporter, police arrive, Superman hands over the gunman and tells the officers to make sure the victims are safe and cared for. So, believe it or not, that part was also offensive to the right wing. Wait, they were safe and cared for? No. Here's how Breitbart explains that same scene. In an act of super socialism, I'm not kidding. I swear to you, I'm not kidding. They actually wrote it. In an act of super socialism, once police arrive, our social justice soups, I don't know what that means, orders them to protect illegal aliens to make sure they are safe and cared for. Okay, so now you've defined socialism as saving innocent people's lives. I don't know, that sounds pretty good. And then they wonder why millennials think that socialism is not so bad. They're like, Northern Europe does it, they look like they're in pretty good shape. If they mean saving people, I don't know. They're like, oh, how dare you? Yes, go ahead.
They also don't realize that socialism, a socialist program is you know, our emergency services. When the police get called, we paid for that. So you can ask them to protect citizens, not just the one that you think should be protected, you and whatever the hell you're doing. We did with the white supremacist stuff. How come the police are out there stopping us from committing violence? We're white.
Yeah. You know what? They are literally calling Superman a social justice warrior. Once again, like sometimes the right wing comes up with terminology to criticize the left wing that amuses me. Like O'Reilly used to always say, oh, before he was fired, for all the sexual harassment he did. Anyway, you know, they're secular humanists. Yeah, we don't think any random religion should rule us, including, by the way, Sharia law. I thought you agree with that. No, I want just my Sharia. So we're secular and they're for the humans. You're guilty. I'm a humanist. I'm for the humans. And in this case, oh, you're for social justice. Okay, that's kind of Superman's job. It's a League of Justice. Anyway, Justice League. So, but here comes my favorite part. They also say, they went on a long street on this, but I'll give you the summary here. The Warner Todd Houston writes for Breitbart, quote, DC Comics long ago declared that Superman is no longer American. Well, that's actually kind of true. Do you know what Superman is? He's an alien. In fact, he's a illegal alien. Sheriff Joe would ask for his papers. Actually, he wouldn't because he's not Latino. But he is literally an illegal alien who came to America without papers, which also makes him a undocumented immigrant. You can't argue with it. Why is Superman protecting undocumented immigrants? Because he is one. Okay. In fact, his parents sent him to America without papers or documentation. What does that make Superman? A dreamer. Trump is trying to kick Superman out of the country. Are you going to let him do that? I thought we wanted Superman to be an American. Just clarifying facts here. Okay, heads exploding. Okay, when do they go after that sumbitch Aquaman? That guy's always trying to cross borders under the water. Think about it. Okay. Oh man, if they catch Aquaman in the Rio Grande, we're gonna have issues. All right, now let me go to another goofy right-wing story. I told you we're gonna start out fun. Okay. Well, recently, President Trump has been going to Houston, kind of, and he did go there to. He also looked at maps of Houston and said he was there. But anyway, but he did go down there, and he's now in Florida. And that was obviously Houston was Hurricane Harvey, and now it's Hurricane Irma, and he's checking out what happened. And so that's good. All presidents should do that. I'm not on him for that now. Okay, bless his heart. Okay, so a picture comes out of that scene. It's the one you're looking at in the graphic, but let's show you the full screen here. Oh my God, what a great guy. He saved kittens, he saved cats from the flood. And while wearing his Make America Great Again hat. Now, which knucklehead thinks that that picture is real? Correct answer, most of the right wing. So they're all over social media right now going, look at this, the media won't report on it. The guy saves kittens. And they don't do anything about it. Okay. The original photograph, Snopes explains, which showed a man named Brandon Smith rescuing his two cats from floodwaters in Cedar Rapids, Iowa in June of 2008, was taken by photographer Harry Baumert of the Des Moines Register. The doctored photo simply superimposes Trump's MAGA hat clad head over the face of the real cat-saving man. You know what? I thought the whole thing was Photoshopped when I first looked at it. So I'm actually kind of heartened to know that someone actually did save cats in America. So congratulations to my man from Cedar Rapids, Brandon Smith. So let's show you the two pictures side by side. Okay. Come on, look at Trump's body on the left. Is that, you think that's Trump's body? Have you never seen him golfing? Okay, look, if I saw that picture and it was Obama and I saw it on social media, I'd be like, no, no way. Okay, there's no president going in the middle of the water. They wouldn't have the president anywhere near danger. They always show up afterwards, whether they're Democrat or Republican. The president's gonna go in the middle of a flood and go save someone's cats? That's not gonna happen. I would ask people to quadruple check that before we ever did a story on that. These guys are like, check, what do you mean check? Trump's a hero. Just put the picture up again. Go ahead. Okay. So here is somebody explaining. This is being shared on Facebook as real by lots and lots of people. That's Helen Kennedy who reported that originally. And then here's one of those folks who is genuinely sharing it. He says, all about President Trump is his handle. And he says, things the media forgets. There's some chance there's a good reason they forgot it because it didn't happen and it's from 2008. You remember that these are the guys who invented fake news. I mean, where did the term fake news come from? It came from right-wing propaganda during the 2016 election where they would literally have fake websites that sounded like they were real websites like abs.com instead of abc.com. And then they would put up a story about Hillary has an aneurysm and is, you know, Polish illegal immigrant, whatever. They would make up nonsense, crazy stuff. And people are like, oh my God, did you know Hillary's an illegal immigrant just like Obama, right? And so that's, and they did that propaganda campaign. And then later Trump took it and was like, oh, okay, I'm just gonna call everybody else fake news. So, but the reality is the minute there's fake news, the right wing loves it. So by the way, this is not the only one, they did this before. Mediaite points out, additionally, Snopes reported that after Harvey hit Texas, another photo circulated on the internet showing Trump in an inflatable raft saving a stranded flood victim. Unsurprisingly, this image is also fraudulent. So we found that one too, here it is. Come on, you really thought that was a president? You guys are a bunch of goofballs. Okay, more. So that's the real picture, of course. And then there it is, side by side. It's called Photoshop, and yes, in this case, it is called fake news. Right wingers, you are so gullible. On the other hand, you voted for Trump, thinking that he was actually for the little guy. Are we surprised you're easy to trick?
I refuse to believe it. I don't know, man. I refuse to believe it. They're trolling us, man. They want us to do this. They want us to go, oh, you idiots. There's no, first of all, that Photoshop picture with the cats, it's such an obvious Photoshop. You have to look at it for 2.5 seconds to realize it, number one.
Nobody looks at anything for 2.5 seconds. Especially if they're right wingers.
But that's your president. He's wearing his hat and he's grimacing like he's carrying a couple of loads of pounds of sandbags or something. Come on, they're cats. Number two, and this is all just jokes on us. He's grabbing a couple of pussies. Come on, they're trolling us. They're trolling us.
He's grabbing him right by the pussy. He didn't even ask. Okay, no. Look, I'm not, by the way, let's be clear here. I'm not saying that Fox News is running the images or et cetera, right? But you're telling me, Jared, that you can't believe that a whole heap of right-wingers online fell for those Photoshops? I mean, they think that climate change is a Chinese hoax. They think that 97% of the world scientists got together in a room and decided, you know what? What should we make up? And I mean, they believe insane stuff. They believe, I mean, I can go on and on about it in completely nonsense stuff they believe. So
I'm trying to draw a line somewhere. I don't give them any credit, but they got us. They must. I hope they just got us.
Okay. I think that your hope in the right wing intellect might be a little displaced. Okay, or misplaced. Okay, God bless, guys. We got to take a break. When we come back, DACA and the drama surrounding that, and then the Democrats with surprising victories. Okay, I'll tell you all about that when we come back. All right, back on the Young Turks. I will read your tweets later in the program. I got a lot of DACA for you. Let's go. Okay. So drums today regarding DACA. Late last night, the Democratic leaders said that they had struck a deal with Donald Trump that he would in fact be in supporting of Dreamers and not demand the wall in return. Whoa. So now lots of twists and turns in this story. And lots of backpedaling in a little bit and lots of anger. So let's get to it. Let's give you the context. We'll go to HuffPost on this one. Last week, Trump put the fates of hundreds of thousands of Dreamers up in the air by rescinding the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, that's DACA, which granted 2-year work permits and deportation relief. So those are folks who were brought into the country when they were kids, and so they did not make an active decision. And most of them have lived here for all their lives. And it looked like Trump was going to send them, quote unquote, back to countries they'd never even lived in as an adult. There's a news story today of someone who was 2 years old when they were brought to the country. But now the twist. Last night, leading Democrats in Congress said they had reached an informal deal with the president on legislation to help so-called Dreamers or undocumented young people who entered the country as children. More details. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi said on Wednesday that they had reached an agreement with Trump to tie measures to grant Dreamers legal status to border security measures, but not to a wall. Drums. So right wing, of course, is about to get furious. Hold. First, let me tell you some of Donald Trump's equivocation. when asked about this and beginning to sense the fury of the right, he said, well, the wall will come late. Oh, they had a deal. They definitely had a deal. So whether he's going to rescind it, you'll see in a second. But look, I've got more videos for you guys. Let me show you what he told reporters this morning as well.
No, we're not looking at citizenship. We're not looking at amnesty. We're looking at allowing people to stay here. We're working with everybody, Republican. We're working with Democrat. I just spoke with Paul Ryan. He's on board. Everybody's on board. They want to do something. We're not talking about amnesty. We're talking about taking care of people, people that were brought here, people that have done a good job and were not brought here of their own volition. The wall to me is vital. If I don't get the wall, then we will become the obstruction.
What has to come first?
So he's already beginning to backpedal there, okay? But he's explaining, I mean, these people are good people. They were not brought here of their own volition. I know, that's the thing we were saying all along. So here's one more from that clip.
The wall will come later. We're right now renovating large sections of wall, massive sections, making it brand new. We're doing a lot of renovation. So we met last night with, as you know, Schumer, Pelosi, and a whole group. I think we're fairly close, but we have to get massive border security. If you have Mitch is on board, Paul Ryan's on board. We all feel, look, 92% of the people agree on DACA. But what we want is we want very, very powerful border security.
No, the right wing is not part of that 92% that agrees. But did you hear him there? He said, wall, did I say wall? I mean, renovations, a little fixer-upper, right? Maybe a fence, like Hillary said. Anyway, did I say wall? I'm pretty sure you said wall. So, and so is the right wing. So here comes a little bit of their fury. Ann Coulter says, at this point, who doesn't want Trump impeached? Oh, breathing fire. Steve King says, Donald Trump, if Associated Press is correct, Trump base is blown up, destroyed, irreparable, and disillusioned beyond repair. By the way, that's what irreparable means. Anyway, no promise is credible. Oh, Steve King just found out Donald Trump's a liar. You don't say. Well, that is news to us. And then, Ed Too Breitbart, headline, Amnesty Dawn. Damn, shots fired. So Trump sees this all over the news this morning, panics, sends a couple of tweets that are usual Trump all over the place. Let me read them to you. He says, no deal was made last night on DACA. Massive border security would have to be agreed to in exchange for consent, would be subject to vote. Okay, now he didn't say wall there, let's just note that. He said massive border security, like he said in the clip, not necessarily wall, which is undergoing renovations. Okay, now in the next one though, he says the wall, which is already under construction in the form of new renovation of old and existing fences and walls, will continue to be built. He didn't say that it would be tied to DACA, because apparently in their deal, it is not tied to DACA. The Dreamers, by the way, that's great, don't get me wrong. Don't lose sight of the fact that if Trump actually does this, which he won't because he got too much blowback from the right wing. But if he actually did it, I don't care that he switched his vote, awesome, or switched his position. That wall is stupid, you go renovate that fence just like Hillary told you, who cares, right? And make sure that those 800,000 kids are not deported. And I'm ready to give him all the credit in the world if he does the right thing. But let's just note, all we're doing is noting that his position has significantly, massively changed. I'm pretty sure that I heard chants of build the wall. I don't think the chant was renovate the fence, renovate the fence. Okay, Donald Trump also then says this though on these tweets. Does anybody really want to throw out good, educated, accomplished young people who have jobs, some serving in the military? Really? But that's what we said. And in the campaign, he said, no, we're throwing out all of them. So we're gonna build a wall and there's gonna be no amnesty, no pathway to citizenship for anyone who's undocumented. Okay, and then he says, they've been in our country for many years through no fault of their own, brought in by parents at a young age, plus big border security. Okay, look, that's not his original position. Again, if he does it, bless his heart, I'm happy to take it, okay? So, since he got the blowback though, here comes the backpedal. I gotta go, I gotta swim on out of here, right? So here comes Donald Trump later today. We have to be sure that the wall isn't obstructed, because without the wall, I wouldn't do anything. It doesn't have to be here, but they can't obstruct the wall if it's in a budget or anything else. But even there, he's not saying that it's tied to DACA. He's saying, yeah, but you can't in a different vote obstruct the wall. And by the way, that is not part of the deal. Apparently, Schumer and Pelosi said, look, you fight for the wall, we fight against the wall. That's for a different day. Today, let's make a deal to make sure the dreamers are kept in the country. And it is not, that particular legislation is not tied to the wall, okay? He went on to say he would only do it if we get extreme security, not only surveillance, but everything that goes with surveillance. If there's not a wall, we're doing nothing. Okay, there you go. That's Donald Trump having it both ways, backpedaling, going, did I say wall? I meant no wall. Did I say no wall? I meant wall. Okay. He says, we're not looking at citizenship. We're not looking at amnesty. We're looking at allowing people to stay here. So he's saying, no way, nope, not citizenship. I changed everything, gone. Sarah Sanders comes out as a spokesperson, of course, the press secretary, says, while DACA and border security were both discussed, excluding the wall was certainly not agreed to. Okay, so after the right wing beating up on him all day long, relentlessly, the very last piece of this is someone on our staff, because we track him, just got one of those fundraising emails from the Trump-Pence folks. And in big bold letters, here's what it says. We will build a wall, not a fence, along the southern border of the United States of America to help stop illegal immigration and keep America safe. Now, if you're wondering, so what does Donald Trump actually think? I know I have an excellent sense from this story of what happened. But what he thinks is an entirely different issue. So what happened was late Wednesday night, they got a deal. And the deal was with the Democrats to let the dreamers stay, and it was not connected to the wall. And they promised that they would deal with the wall at a later time where they would not agree. And that's perfectly reasonable. You do this first, then you go over there. Now the right wing wants to at least tie the two together, because they say, all right, if we're going to let these innocent people stay in the country, then let's at least make sure we waste billions of dollars on a wall. So that's why they're so mad. And given that they were mad, he has now changed his position for the 88th time. So which position does he actually have? None of the above. He doesn't care. He's never cared. He said build a wall because the crowd reacted positively when he said it. All he does is A/B test the crowd. He's like, now we got to let the Mexicans in, right? Boo. I mean, keep them out, right? Yeah, build a wall, right? Wah! Yeah, let's chant that for a while. And then who are we gonna make? We're gonna make the Norwegians pay for it, boo. We're gonna make the Mexicans pay for it. Wah! He's like, yeah, that's it, we're gonna make the Mexicans pay for it. By the way, I didn't hear any part of this deal where the Mexicans are paying for the wall. He has no real opinions or ideology. The only opinion he has is, how do I get people to like me and give me money I didn't deserve? So. So what's going to actually happen with the DACA legislation, by the way? No one knows. It's a nice effort by Schumer and Pelosi, almost worked. And maybe will work one day, depending on Donald Trump's mood. Okay, now let's go to right-wing reaction. So last night, Schumer and Pelosi go and talk to Donald Trump. They get a deal that they're going to let the dreamers stay in the country, and it's not going to be tied to the wall. Look, Schumer and Pelosi didn't brag much about it. They just put out the statement that, hey, great, we have a deal. And Trump didn't deny it. He agreed with it until, of course, he got what I'm about to show you, which is fire and fury, as he would put it, from the right wing. And then Schumer was caught on a hot mic. So this is not him bragging, because he doesn't know that he's on the mic. And he was in the Senate, and here's what he said.
Don't just got here anything new?
No. Okay, can I get you to
say anything? He likes us. He likes me anyway. Look, what we said is exactly accurate. Here's what I told him. I said, Mr. President, you're much better off if you can sometimes step right and sometimes step left. If you have to step just in one direction, you're boxed. He gets that. Oh, it's going to work out, and it'll make us more productive too.
I don't know about the Democrats being more productive that way. But anyway, it was a good deal for Schumer and Pelosi. I want to give him credit for that. That's him just talking to a colleague that doesn't realize the mic's on, saying, yeah, he kind of likes me. which of course makes the right wing even more angry. So that brings us to Ann Coulter. She tweets, at this point, who doesn't want Trump impeached? She's going to have a lot more later. Then we go to Joe Walsh, former Republican congressman, current lunatic. He says to Sean Hannity, no, because Sean Hannity was kind of defending him. If true, blame Trump. GOP sucks, but if Trump caves on amnesty and the wall, that's on him. Quit coddling him. Again, if true, he says. Then we go to Steve King. He's just getting warmed up. He says, if AP is correct, Associated Press, Trump base is blown up, destroyed, irreparable, and disillusioned beyond repair. No promise is credible. Then we go to Lou Dobbs, he loves the president so much, so I could feel his heart breaking in this tweet. Schumer is an ideologue devoid of integrity. The dreamers are Dim's problem. You promised to make American dreams come true. Hashtag America first. So not angry as much as he is sad. And then of course, Breitbart with Amnesty Don, report Trump caves on DACA. Ed to Bannon. So I suppose that's not super surprising. But wait, we're just getting warmed up. Let's go back to Steve King. Now, this Steve King is the most virulently anti-immigrant, anti-Latino racist in Congress. And he's the guy who came up with the insane theory that Mexican people have quote unquote cantaloupe calves because they drag so much marijuana around in the desert. Okay, so let's hear from this genius.
Congressman, what does this mean for the Republican Party? If the president protects the dreamers or has a deal with Pelosi and Schumer to protect the dreamers, and the wall that he promised really is refurbishing old fences?
Well, what it means is that the base will leave him. They won't be able to defend him anymore. If we don't build a wall all the way through, then the rest of it is subject to prosecutorial discretion, his, as was under Barack Obama's, or the next president. So I think something's going to have to be reversed here with this president's policy, or it'll just blow up his base. I mean, this was a straight-up promise all the way through his campaign. I don't think it's unclear to anybody what those campaign promises were, but it looks to me like he's preparing to keep Hillary Clinton's campaign promise rather than his own.
Damn. Whoa, that's fighting words. But he's not even done. Let's keep going.
He also said that he and Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell agree on dreamers, and 92% agree on that. I think that's his favorite number. I remember him using that number also when we were discussing the health care issue on a totally different thing. So, no, I don't think 92% agree on this at all. I'd say about 80% of his base agree with me that we cannot reward lawbreakers. If we do that, then we get more lawbreakers.
Damn, he just called him a liar. He's like, I think he made that 92% number up. I thought I saw that in another story that he made up. Yeah, that's right. He makes up numbers all the time. But now that he disagrees with you on an issue, he's like, did you know the president's lying? Did you know that he breaks promises? Oh, you figured that out, did you, Sherlock? Okay, and he can't leave the topic without pouring a little salt in wounds. It's like, now remember how much I hate immigrants. Watch.
We had a protest day before yesterday here in the Capitol. Dreamers coming out demanding that we give them amnesty. Well, what do lawbreakers have? What right do they have to make demands of the duly elected officials from the citizens of the United States of America? They should, if anything, they ought to be at least pleading for it, not demanding.
It's these lowly people, they're going to demand things of us. You know, these lawbreakers, some of them came when they were babies, some of them came when they were two, or I mean, even if you're 13, you're really like, hey, mom, dad, I got a great idea. Let's go over to America and go through this deadly track in the desert, etc. No, it was not their decision to make. But he's like, well, if you want to stay, you should be begging me. Oh, F off, Steve King, you piece of crap. This is the same guy who talked about protecting our, like that whites had to have more babies to protect the culture. He's not. Not only is he not a sophisticated thinker, that's a hilarious thing to say in the light of Steve King, but he doesn't hide his racism very well. He barely concealed it, oftentimes just simply not concealed. Anyway, other racists who are also furious at Trump about this, we go back to Ann Coulter, who in the past has warned about the browning of America. She said, put a fork in Trump, he's dead. Damn. She also said, if we're not getting a wall, I'd prefer President Pence. Shots fired. I'd just like to remind folks what the title of Ann Coulter's last book was, In Trump We Trust. Oops. How did trusting Trump work out for you? We told you. All right, Mark Krikorian is some sort of anti-immigrant zealot that Trump used his think tank. That's hilarious. Anyway, his one thought tank during the campaign. Now, he's also disillusioned. He said, I picked the wrong week to stop sniffing glue. I'll at least give him that was funny. He then said, Schumer is a used car salesman. Trump is the sucker who walks in and says, I've got to have that car. I love these guys when Trump disagrees with them. Finally recognize, like, I wonder if Trump's not that bright. Of course, that's what we've been telling you. Okay, and one more from Krikorian. No, two more from Krikorian. Last one's gonna be terrible. All right, here we go. Still might be good to burn a few MAGA hats in front of the White House, just to emphasize the point. Damn, oh, I love it. They're burning their little red hats. Oh, man. What are you gonna do without them? The only headgear you're gonna have is little white hoods. Did I say that out loud? Oh my God, that's so unacceptable. Okay, my favorite though is the last one from Mark Krikorian. Donald, but with the Latino exclamation points. That is the worst insult a right winger can give somebody. He just called him a Latino. But by the way, don't worry, they're not racist. Okay. That's all for them. Now let's go to the right wingers who are still sucking up to Trump. Okay. So Donald Trump says that maybe you don't need a wall and might let the dreamers stay anyway. Most of the right wing is furious, but some of the right wing are still trying to find a way to kiss his ass. So we go to Bill Mitchell. I don't know the dude, but I guess he's a right winger. Anyway, he says this is how Trump negotiates. It's shocking to some, since we're not accustomed to strategic thinking from politicians. Donald Trump, strategic thinking. Okay, anyway, so he's saying, like, no, he agreed with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi so that later he can disagree with them. Strategic thinking. That's some strategery right there. Likely not. Then we go to, of course, Sean Hannity. Oh, poor Sean. He's kind of like, oh, he wants that wall so bad. The dreamers, he can't stand them, but he's got to agree with Trump. That's his job. Okay, so Hannity says, if reports true 100%, I blame Republicans. They caused this. They wanted him to fail and now pushed him into the arms of political suicide, if true. In other words, this is political suicide. What our Republican 101 is hate immigrants, hate Latinos. What are you doing? It's the Republicans' fault. It can't be my Donald's fault. The Donald's the dear leader. Oh, they made him do it. They pushed him into the arms of the Democrats. Look at what you made him do. Okay, he goes on to say, well, Mitch, great job to Mitch McConnell. You failed so miserably with healthcare and, quote, excessive expectations. Now a president has to deal with Democratic leaders. Oh, you're so sad and miserable, Sean. Like, oh, you're a natural born groveler. You're a beta. You're a cuck. Okay, so when Trump comes out and is like, does not compute. This is core promise. Must still kiss his ass. I don't know what to do. I will blame Mitch McConnell. He doesn't have anything to do with this. Donald Trump struck the deal with Pelosi and Schumer of his own accord. This is one you can't put on McConnell at all. You know, healthcare, that's fair, but not this, man. You're stretching. He goes on to say, politicians are supposed to keep their word. Republicans failed on healthcare, broke their word, they have failed. POTUS needs to keep his promises. He's trying to, like, gently nudge POTUS. POTUS, remember, keep your promises. Remember the thing with the build the wall? Okay. And if POTUS doesn't keep that promise and goes for amnesty, it will be the political equivalent of read my lips, no new taxes. So just a tiny little tweak there, but like saying, hey, remember, let's blame Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan, but don't do this. One last one. He says, weak Republicans have betrayed voters. POTUS needs to stay the course and keep his promises, or it's over. Pelosi and Schumer can never be trusted. But notice he does not say that Donald Trump has betrayed voters. that somehow the guys who were, to be fair to them, and I'm not often fair to them, to be fair to McConnell, Paul Ryan, no, I am fair to them, they just suck. Anyway, in this case, they didn't do it, man. They didn't agree to the deal, they weren't part of the deal, they had nothing to do with this deal. All right, and media points out, if the wall is already there, which is what Trump said, quote, already there, was the slogan build a wall just literally licensed for fund renovations to existing border barriers? And that is a fair question and one that should be asked of Sean Hannity and others. But before we leave this, of course we've got to do Fox and Friends, because they're like, wait, is Sean Hannity trying to out-askiss us? We're not going to let that happen. We're going to bring on Chaffetz. He's going to have a super weak sauce explanation and excuse here. Let's watch.
What you need to understand about this is the president doesn't need congressional authority to build the wall. It's already there. Mm-hmm. He needs funding. So it's solely in the camp of the United States Congress to fund what the president promised he would do. He'll build it, but Congress has to step up and actually fund it.
It's already there. And it's not Trump, it's Congress. You know what I'm saying? Steve, Deuce, you got to jump in there. Make it even worse. Get a load of this. This is great. Watch.
Has the wall almost become symbolic? I mean, I know the president ran on it. It was a mantra. But at the same time, border crossings have gone down dramatically.
Yeah.
And you were talking about how the wall exists in certain forms and there's money to go to it, has to come from Congress. But do you think we're going to get to the point where maybe they won't build a wall?
Has it become symbolic? Symbolically build the wall. Symbolically build the wall. You guys are wonderfully pathetic. Keep making excuses. It's amusing for the rest of us. Thank you for the entertainment. Not something I say often to Fox News. All right, I gotta go. We gotta take a break here. When we come back, I've got at least two more stories for you guys. One is shocking Democratic victories, and the other is Chuck Todd tells the left wing that they're just as bad as the right wing. I know that's it comes to. Please don't tell Jimmy. He's going to be shocked. He's going to have a heart attack. But we have facts that I can't wait to show him and you guys in response. We'll be right back. All right, back on the Young Turks. Mr. Bigglesworth writes in on YouTube Super Chat. If you use that, we read your comments and you help the show. He says, DACA when the walls fell. Jeff and Taylor Comics says, great stories on TYT on my birthday. Keep going, guys. You rock. Jank, if you want my opinion, you don't use the soundboard enough. Oh, I thank you. I appreciate that. So I will shout to you.
Sarabies.
Random. Okay. All right. I got to read you a whole bunch of tweets here because they're too good. Would you kind live? Writes in, just wait till they find out Captain America's debut was punching Hitler in the face. They're going to be like, oh, see, social justice warrior against the right wing. Okay. Anyway, Angelica. If you're against heroes, doesn't that make you a villain? Good question. Geriant writes in about the cat story. He says, we know it's not Trump, the hands are too big. How could he possibly carry two cats with those tiny little hands? That's a great point, Geriant. You made us laugh. Geriant gets a t-shirt. ShopTYT.com, guys. All right, Megan E. Pearson writes in, I want to agree with J.R. Jackson that no one could believe those pictures. But there is a documentary about lizard people, so that's a good point. Lizard people, dude, lizard people. All right, anyway, Claire says there's more chance of Hillary taking some responsibility than that wall being built. Funny, Lucy first has said it before, I have to say it again, Cenk Uygur is the best political analyst I have ever come across. T-shirt for Lucy. That's not fair, just for a compliment, that's just not fair. Sorry, we're not in the fair business today. ShopTYT.com, but Lucy gets a free one.
Well, it did make me laugh, so I think it's.
Shots further fired. Okay, I'll end on this one. Zoe says, we can't abide lawbreakers except those with offshore accounts, which we will forgive. Exactly right, Zoe. Okay. that actually was a good one by Jared. Okay. All right, we're over here. Okay. Chuck Todd's going to pull a classic establishment media. Both sides do it. But it's not just that. I actually have a more important point to make about it. But first, let's watch Chuck.
That is the bigger story brewing here on both sides. Cue the both-siderisms. We know you love to do that on Twitter. If our leaders learned anything else in the last few weeks, it's that there's a major battle in 2018 that could purge each party of its more moderate governing wing. or at least what's left of that moderate governing wing. Right now, you're seeing signs of a purge on the right.
You are attacking on many fronts people who you need to help you to get things done.
They're not going to help you unless they're put on notice. They're going to be held accountable if they do not support the President of the United States.
You go into war with them.
Absolutely.
It isn't just on the right. There are forces on the Democratic side attacking the moderate and governing wings of their own party as well.
The current model and the current strategy of the Democratic Party is an absolute failure. The Democratic Party must finally understand which side it is on.
Right now, Sanders is driving a big wedge between the progressive left and the moderate left with his Medicare for All health care bill. I know what some of you are thinking, fake news, Republicans are united, or fake news, Democrats are united. But folks, you can't see that this is a problem, is impacting both sides. If you don't see it, then you're probably part of that said problem.
Okay, that's him telling it like it is. All right, so let's break this down. Do we think that Democrats and Republicans are united? No, I think some people naively believe that, but no, that's not the issue at all, Chuck. Okay, so the question is twofold. One is, you framed it as, well, that's the moderate governing wings of the parties. So what do the so-called moderates agree to? Well, they agree to tax cuts for the rich. They do it all the time. They did it under Bush. In fact, Obama made 94% of Bush's tax cuts permanent. Yes, he raised taxes on the rich by a tiny bit, but overall, he did what Bush could not do. He actually took, because Bush's sunshine day ran out after 10 years, Obama made him permanent for 94% of the revenue that came from the Bush tax cuts. They're about to do so-called tax reform, where some Democrats that you would say are in the moderate governing wing of the party are going to agree with the Republicans to give giant tax cuts for the rich. Both sides have consistently voted for more war, including the Iraq war. Yes, the moderate governing wing of the Democratic Party, like Hillary Clinton, etc., agreed with the Republicans on the Iraq war, and I can go on and on. Now, is that truly moderate? No. That is a position you claim is moderate on television in Washington and New York because you are part of the establishment. And the establishment is massively right wing. Okay, oh my God, you're being divisive by not agreeing to all my positions I assume are correct. How dare you fight us on this when you should be part of the moderate wing? Okay, well, wait. Chuck, it's not a matter of me and you disagreeing. And we do, trust me. Okay, it's a matter of what is the actual position of the American people. I know what you guys on TV love to do. My guts, the American people say this, my gut says this. No. What do the polls say? You never talk about it because it's incredibly inconvenient for you. He just put Steve Bannon, this is the second part of the problem. He just put Steve Bannon in the same category as Bernie Sanders. Are you insane? Bernie Sanders, speaking of polls, is the most popular politician in the country. And you just put him in the same basket as a total right-wing fringe lunatic who's in favor of white nationalism. But somehow that makes sense to you because you don't want to see that poll. You don't want Bernie Sanders to be the most popular politician in the country. So you say, I don't see it. All election long in the primaries, he did better in general election polling against every Republican in every poll. I don't see it. He's not moderate governing wing. He's not moderate governing. He's a radical. But wait, people like him. They will vote for him. There's a poll on election day where he would have done 12 points better than Hillary. No, I don't see it. No. Okay, so I know you're never gonna see it with Bernie Sanders because you don't like him, because he's not for the establishment. He's gonna rock the boat. And Chuck, it's your boat. Come on, you know it. You work for a giant multi-billion dollar corporation. You think they want the boat rocked. Okay, we can disagree about that all day long. But there are facts. So let's go to the polls on what the American people actually believe. So the right wing says we should cut Social Security. I mean, reform entitlements. And oftentimes people like Bill Clinton will agree, and a lot of Democrats will say, oh, I mean, third way, which you would consider the moderate governing wing of the Democratic Party, will say, oh man, we gotta reform entitlements. Americans want entitlement reform. No, they don't. They want the exact opposite. Not only do they want to protect Social Security, when asked, do you want to expand Social Security? It only came out 72-16. 72-16. They don't want to just protect Social Security, they want to expand Social Security. So Chuck, tell me again where the moderates are in the country. No, the moderates in the country love Social Security and want to add to it. Okay, how about raising taxes on the rich? I'm told every day, oh my God, don't do that, it'll be raising taxes, that's terrible. Oh wait, 52% of the country actually support literally raising taxes on the rich. This extreme wing, extreme. So 52% of the country is extreme? Whether these facts are inconvenient to you or not, they are real. And I know you don't want to hear that because you like to pretend that moderates think that cutting taxes for the rich, cutting taxes, you do that poll on cutting taxes, it's going to come out way worse. Cutting taxes on the rich is a disastrous idea for true moderates in the country. I'm not anywhere near done, so let's hurry. Let's go to increasing military spending, which Washington tells me is awesome, by cutting state and EPA funding. 41% support, 58% oppose increasing military spending. They would rather spend the money on diplomacy and protecting the environment. Not what you hear on TV at all, what TV and Chuck Todd would call extreme, like Bernie Sanders. That is Bernie Sanders' position. Again, overwhelming majority of Americans agree. Raising the minimum wage, you know that it's still at $7.25? The moderate governing wing of both parties have decided that it should be that brutally low. Americans wildly disagree. 66% want it at $10.10, 59% say go all the way to $12, keep it going. And then even 48-38 say that it should go all the way to $15. So the moderates in America want to raise the minimum wage massively, nearly double it. Okay, in fact, more than double it. But you never hear that on TV because you guys on TV are not moderates. You are effectively, whether you know it or you don't, complete right wingers. You take right wing ideology, you parrot it as if it is moderate, and then you put, you know, extreme characters in the same boat as the guy who's the single most popular politician in Washington in the country. All right, more Medicare for all. I hear that, I mean, you just put in your that particular clip that Medicare for all is so extreme, it's like Steve Bannon. I guess 60% of the country is as extreme as Steve Bannon because 60% support Medicare for all. And if you've noticed, these are polls from all different organizations, Gallup, CNN, Pew, and in that case, the Pew Research Center. And you could find polls like that all day long. 60% of the country, I believe, would be called moderates. The center of the country wants Medicare for all. But you pretend it's the extreme because you think it's extreme. Every one of your friends in the elite think it's extreme because they're paid to think it's extreme. Okay, immigration reform. Are you ready for this? This is another CNN poll. 90% of Americans want immigration reform. Only 9% oppose. Oh, but the moderate governing wing, yada, yada, yada. How about gay marriage? I hear that's a 50-50 issue on TV. We have to be respectful. We have to be respectful of the right wingers who think it's intolerant to not tolerate their intolerance. Okay, what do actual human beings in America think? 64% support. Only 34% oppose. So the moderate position in America is absolutely 100% same rights for gay marriage. One last one, because all the TV people love to laugh about this one. Marijuana legalization. I mean, should we even really consider that? Of course not. I guess it's from some millennial stoners. The moderate governing wing thinks that marijuana should be a Schedule I drug. So dangerous that you shouldn't even do medical research on it. In reality, 61% of Americans support legalizing marijuana and only 33% oppose. Chuck, I have very, very bad news for you. We are the center. The guys that you think are, oh my God, extreme progressives. If we did not have money in politics, and which by the way then gets spent on TV, and then look at that, the guys on TV agree with the donors that we shouldn't get any of the policies that we want. We shouldn't have taxes raised on the rich. We should have more war. We should cut instead of expand Social Security, and the list goes on and on. If you guys weren't in the way and you actually cared about democracy and we had a real democracy without the corrupting influence of money, we would steamroll you guys. And by the way, even with all of your corruption, we're about to steamroll you guys. Because not because we're radicals or we're fringe, but because we're the moderates. We represent America, you don't. You represent the elite. Okay, now finally, I want to ask you guys, because maybe I'm wrong. So I hear that the media is liberal. So let's do a poll, tytnetwork.com/Chuck. Chuck Todd is A, part of the liberal media. You know, in Washington, people would say that. I bet that wins in a landslide in Washington and New York among the elite. B, a witting tool of the establishment. C, an unwitting tool of the establishment. D, a Republican. E, correct. Maybe you think he's right. Maybe you think, yeah, that's right. You radicals, you want to do what 60% of Americans want. Radical. Chuck nailed it. Can't wait to see how that vote's going to turn out. And by the way, I don't know. I know what I want to vote for and what I will vote for. I'm curious what you guys are going to vote for. Okay. All we do is bring you facts here. And God, the facts get under their skin. It drives them crazy. Okay. Let's go to one last story for you guys. We had special elections a couple of days ago, and they came out with really interesting results. Now, look, these are the state level. This is not giant elections. And so, yes, it's a little different. It's probably not a lot of money spent on them. And voter turnout is not as high. So you can't say that this trend is 100% and it'll play out in the House, the Senate, or eventually in the presidency. But it is a trend. Now, at the national level, money in politics still reigns supreme. So there were special elections. And yes, they were in heavily Republican districts, but the Republicans, I'm sorry, the Democrats did do better than they normally would in those districts, but they lost those US congressional seats to the Republicans anyway. But at the local level, where there isn't as much money and there is where the energy of the base is more important, we have wildly different results. So I want to let you know about them. So the Hill reports Democrat Charlie St. Clair was victorious in New Hampshire's District 9 House election, beating Republican Steve Whaley 56-44%, according to unofficial counts. St. Clair will replace Republican Robert Fisher in that district. Now, I'm going to get you numbers from that district in a second, but that's a serious whooping, 56-44. And that was a district that was previously Republican, and significantly so. So New Hampshire is a purple state, but that district within New Hampshire was deeply red, now gone. It's now a Democratic district. So now we go to, if you think New Hampshire, purple. Now we're going to Oklahoma. A Democratic school teacher, Jacob Rosenkrantz, garnered 60% of the vote in the race for Oklahoma's House District 46, defeating Republican Darren Chambers, who had 40%, according to unofficial counts. Jesus, a Democratic teacher, not involved in politics, just won in Oklahoma, 60-40%. Those are amazing numbers. But let me give you more context, which makes them even more amazing. Rosenkrantz, who lost the last election by the same margin, is the first Democrat to win the district since 2012. That means just a little while ago, he lost by 20 points. And now this week, he wins by 20 points. I'll do the math for you. That's a 40-point swing in Oklahoma. All right, we'll get to lessons learned in a second. Republicans held nearly 3,000 voter registration advantage in that district in Oklahoma. To overcome that is amazing. Rosenkrantz was the third Democrat to win a previously Republican-held seat in Oklahoma this year, so it is not a fluke. I mean, can you imagine Oklahoma turning blue? Literally, previously unimaginable. Okay. Now, to give you more context on these two particular races, President Trump won both districts in Oklahoma and New Hampshire in 2016 by double-digit margins. In fact, in the New Hampshire district, Trump had won by 17 points. Now the Democrat won by 12 points. Once again, this is not complicated math, so I'll do it for you. That is a 29-point swing. Wow. Okay. Now, final piece of context for you guys. St. Clair was the second Democrat to snag a Republican-held seat in New Hampshire Democrats also won a Republican-held seat in New York Assembly in a Long Island district that had not elected a Democrat since the 1960s. Wolfpack ran a race in Connecticut, and in that case, it happened to be a Democrat running in a very Republican district, a district that had voted Republican for about 100 years straight. And the Democrat candidate did not win there because it was over a 30-point margin they had to overcome. But we closed the lead by 26 points. That was a 26-point swing in the most Republican district in Connecticut. So this is happening all over the country. 32 special legislative elections have been held since January in districts where a Democrat has faced a Republican. In 25 of the 31 districts where comparisons are available, the Democratic candidate ran ahead of Clinton by an average of 12 percentage points. So what are the lessons learned here? Okay, number one, energize your base. If you give them a reason to vote, they will come out and vote. In this case, they happen to be mad at Trump. But that leads to lesson number two. Don't run establishment candidates. When you ran Hillary Clinton, who was an establishment candidate, it needlessly gave the Republicans an advantage. You take Hillary Clinton out of the equation, boom, numbers shoot up by 12 points. Not complicated lessons. Oh my God, if you let true strong progressives run and uncorrupted campaigns, oh, you could maul the Republicans in 2018, let alone 2020. I almost did a Freudian slip of the Democrats there, but for good reason. You gotta sometimes get rid of the establishment Democrats first so you can actually beat the Republicans. To give you a sense of scope of how big those victories could be, if Democratic candidates running for Congress next year run 12 points ahead of Clinton, they would reach 50% of the vote in 309 US House districts, including deeply red districts held by members like Representative Joe Wilson of South Carolina, Randy Weber of Texas, and Tim Murphy of Pennsylvania. There's only 435 seats in the House. The Democrats would win 309 of them. Oh, please, establishment Democrats, get out the way, get out the way. Let us run teachers and nurses and people who don't take corporate PAC money. Let us run the uncorrupted. Let us energize the base and give people a reason to vote. Give people a reason to show up, and we're going to clean their clock. But you got to let us at them. You got to let us run against the Republicans. JusticeDemocrats.com/win. Because it isn't about, like the TV guys will tell you, oh, you're trying to divide the party. No, I'm trying to make sure we win. That's why it's JusticeDemocrats.com/win. Justice Democrats are progressives, uncorrupted, not taking any corporate PAC money. Real Americans, almost no one who's run for office before. I know the guys on TV snicker. Oh my God, you guys haven't run for office before. You're not part of our elite friends. That's goddamn right we're not. Let us at them. JusticeDemocrats.com/win. If we got our candidates in there, this thing could be a tsunami. All right, I gotta go. Let me take a break here. When we come back, what is Marie Antoinette up to these days? So the wife of the Treasury Secretary and the Treasury Secretary himself, their latest request is wonderfully outrageous. I'll let you know.